Então.
Hello and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the show where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will, with me as always is Liz. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Will. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, though. I nearly got a little lost in the intro there. Like, I've done it many, many times.
Yeah.
And there was a moment when I was partway through, I was like, have I said that right? Am I saying that right?
Did you forget who you were or what the podcast was?
No, it was. There's a wording I use every time, and I think it was when I got as far as show, and I was like, do I always say show, or do I say podcast, or do I say something else?
Interesting, because you do it basically on autopilot now. You haven't got anything written down. So if something trips that up, then everything goes to pop. Well,
obviously, I mean, if I were really smart, I'd have just recorded that and then inserted it each week.
Do you know what?
I do the intro music.
We might be blowing people's mind that you're actually saying that fresh every time. It sounds exactly the same.
I tell you what, this is good because this is like an audition reel for me to do a voiceover of a cartoon.
Oh,
because people have to deliver the same, have to deliver like the lines exactly the same each episode. I can do that.
Clearly.
This is evidence of that because I think there's people out there who wouldn't have realized that every time I'm delivering that fresh each time. You know, that's that. You're not getting any recycled content there. That's 100% new every time.
Off the cuff.
Anyway, no, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. How are you? How have you been since our last episode?
I don't really remember how I've been, which probably means bad. Okay. I don't remember doing anything. Time is passing. It's fleeting. Nothing is happening in my life. I think I'm on pause now till summer.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, I have no plans for summer.
Oh, fair enough.
So I probably shouldn't wait for it.
Well, that's got quite deep, quite early doors. Well, I tell you something that's happened to me this week.
Okay.
I rediscovered on YouTube that there's a man who does marble racing.
Oh, the marble runs.
Marble runs, yeah. And he does them. And they're done to an incredibly high production standard. You've seen them. And I rediscovered them because I watched them like during first lockdown and then kind of, you know, life started to come back online and I forgot about it and then I rediscovered it. And it got me thinking about, oh, you know, well, marbles. I remember briefly having some marbles when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about other things. And, you know, there's always that saying of like, and it's been going around a lot at the moment on the memes and things of someone going, oh, you know, one day you realize now as an adult that one time was the last time you went out to play with your friends.
Yes. Whoa. I believe I said this to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it got me thinking that that's not just like going outside and playing. That's like all the time. There was a time in my life when I picked up like my POG collection and went, nope, never going to use these again.
So did you have marbles?
I had marbles, yes.
Do you know what happened to them?
No, I think my dad gave me some marbles, and then I think...
So you have, in effect, lost your marbles.
Hey! Oh, Jeff, yeah, this is the kind of comedy gold people tune in for. No, I mean, I did have marbles. I think my dad gave me some marbles, and I think it was like... I think they like ended up in like a tin of stuff I had. There's every chance I've still got them. Right.
I can't believe you're proceeding with the lost marbles thing.
There's every chance I've still got them somewhere. I've just misplaced my marbles. Did you have that though? Like, did you have like tins and boxes of random bits of stuff when you were a kid?
I mean, I had a bedroom that was entirely bits of random stuff. And then I'm not a big person for throwing stuff away. We're both hoarders, aren't we?
Oh, massively so.
But when I finished university and I was sort of between my parents' house and moving out, I just had a purge, a massive purge, and I threw away so much stuff. And the only thing I really regret throwing away was my school books because I had kept. So I was about, you know, like 23 or 24, like finishing uni. And yeah, I'd kept my school books from nursery all the way through school and I threw them away because I was like, I can't keep carting around all this stuff.
See, I mean,
and now I think I should have kept a little bit. I did keep a couple of things because I think we read some out, some of my old schoolwork. But that's just the stuff that kind of like...
Made the cut.
There was so much and I should have kept a bit more, I think.
Well, interesting though, is you're saying you kept it, not like, because my I have school books because my parents kept them.
Yeah.
My parents insisted on keeping them, and they got boxed up and they went in the attic. And then when we moved out of the house, like 2020, I brought all my schoolwork back. And I've got rid of one or two bits that I can't honestly have no attachment to. It's like daubs I did when I was like six on a scrap piece of paper. You know, I've got no attachment to it, no memory of it. I can't even tell what it is at this stage.
Mm.
So that's gone, but I've still got a load of my workbooks. But I didn't, it wasn't ever a case of like, if you want to keep this, son, you hold on to it yourself at seven.
It's interesting. It's a totally different experience, isn't it? Because in effect, your parents were keeping it as like mementos of their child growing older, yeah. You know, whatever. Whereas I think if I'd have said at four, Mum, I don't need this school stuff anymore, let's chuck it, she'd have been fine with that. I kept all my stuff in my room. And yeah, it was only when I was clearing my room out that I was like, oh, I don't need this anymore. And I don't think my parents have kept anything of mine. And do not give a shit whether I have.
I mean, the thing is, I've seen elements of this because when we've gone around like your parents' house and we've got out the photo albums, as you do, like every Christmas or something else, you know, you get out the photo albums, you have a look at all the old family stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, you can't tell who's who in it because, you know, it's an old photo, not sure. This could be this person, this could be this person, no idea for the rest of it. And you've got it there. Like, we have that as well. Like, cause my dad's a photographer, so we had like boxes of slides and photo albums and photos and everything else and all this stuff, but it was mostly annotated with notes, so we knew roughly what it was or when it was, so we'd go back and find it. Even then, my dad did a mass purge of all of that stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, we still like but it, I don't know, it's just the default position I think in my house growing up was, we'll keep that as a memento, stick it in the loft, and we'll sort through it 20 years later.
I don't think we ever put anything in the loft. Well, my parents lived in the same house from when I was about 18 months old to for like 30 years they lived there. And I never went in the loft. What? Never saw the loft. I believe my mum's wedding dress was up there for a time, but that was about it.
I remember.
Terrifying image, that is. Just a lone wedding dress in the loft. But nobody ever went in there.
Well, no, because I remember this, because when they moved, they cleared out the loft.
Yeah.
And do you remember?
Did you go in there?
Well, no, but do you remember what came out of the loft?
No.
Because it wasn't much. There were a couple of old pairs of curtains, which I think might have been taken down when your parents moved in and went,
yeah,
in the loft.
From the previous people.
And a doll.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 3-foot-high doll.
From the 50s.
From the 50s in a box. And it looked like Annabelle from the horror movies.
It's called Annabelle.
Yeah. It was terrifying.
Yeah, my mum's doll. With just a tiny bit of blonde hair on it and these staring eyes.
Yeah.
That used to blink, so they really stare now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was scary.
Because I was around there and I remember that came out of the loft. I went, nope, 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 and left the house. No, can't deal with it.
Well, the worst part was it was just around the time that It was coming out.
Yeah.
And so one of my dad's film magazines had come with a single red balloon as a promotional item. So he attached the red balloon to the doll and was just moving it around the house. Timing couldn't have worked better there.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Liz, let's talk about why we're here. So last...
Why are we here?
Well, we're here because it's another pitch episode.
Oh, okay.
But before we get on to that, I do want to talk a little bit about Noddy.
Let's
our last
wrap
episode.
That Noddy up.
Yeah, because we... Please, a little decorum. So last episode we watched Noddy, and we watched, again, part of these multiple iterations. One that I'd missed in the research that someone on Twitter sent us was the American adaptation.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And this was to try and get Noddy into an American audience, right? So this was a Canadian and US production called Noddy... Noddy in Toyland, colloquially known as the Noddy Shop, which...
The noddy shop definitely sounds like slang for something.
It's always so close to the knocking shop.
Knocking shop. It makes me think of knocking shop.
Which, you know, fantastic. Is just a great, a slightly antiquated term for a brothel.
Yes. I'm going down the noddy shop. Definitely. You don't want to know what goes on there.
There's a reason that didn't take off.
Yeah.
As a title. But this was basically to try and introduce Noddy and Enid Blyton to an American audience. So,
well, that seems like unfair. I mean, I know I don't much like Americans, but you know, we shouldn't do that to them.
No, I mean, well, the thing is, we know now. We've seen Noddy. He's a small, possibly toy, possibly young boy, living in Toyland, driving a taxi.
Sure.
There's a lot already in that that I don't think you need to add more on top of that.
Yeah.
What they've done here, and I'm going to read you just the plot as it is. Noah Tomton, a former old salt, now runs an antique shop in Littleton Falls, the Noddy Shop. This stands for Notions, Oddities, Doodads, and Delights of Yesterday.
Okay, well, that you don't need all that. Don't retcon Noddy.
This is it. It's completely unnecessary.
He's called Noddy because he nods. We went through that in detail.
You don't need to add that extra layer on. So we've got...
Did you say an old salt?
Yes, it says he's a former old salt.
Is this Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Does it not have a link for what that is?
No, it doesn't. It's not highlighted. It's not... I mean, listen, I thought an old salt was just like a colloquial name for like an old person. Like, you know...
Is it?
A cantankerous old person. Oh, he's an old salt. Not... And I presume maybe is like he's a former sailor or like a lighthouse keeper or like something like that.
A salty sea dog, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. But, I mean, a former old salt means... Because I thought, you know, that...
He's so young again.
He's an ancient salt? So he runs this toy shop. Next door, his sister, Agatha Flugelschmidt.
Genuinely
Agatha Flugelschmidt. She runs a hat shop. And it's all about his grandkids and a friend of theirs. And all the toys, and there's loads more toys in there. Plus you've got they cut to Noddy segments, which have been redubbed. So you've got all the toys in the toy shop, plus all the Noddy and Noddy's toys. It's just too many toys.
You showed me a bit, and it did seem like they tried to make a shop, which was sort of like Sesame Street, because there's so many puppets and so many characters. So instead of an entire street, they put all of that into one shop. And then, like you say, they're cutting around to other bits.
Yeah.
There's so much.
I mean, so you've got Noddy, you've got all of those segments from the Noddy Show. You've got Wallerworth Q. Weasel, who's a malicious weasel in a bowler hat who resides in a jack-in-the-box. I mean, that is the very definition of a hat on a hat on a hat. There's too many things going on there. Just make him an evil weasel. Don't make him have a bowler hat and live in a jack-in-the-box.
I don't know. That's the only bit I kind of like the sound of.
Yeah. Okay, when he pops out of the box, he sings and tap dances.
Does he sing Pop Goes the Weasel? Because...
Unclear.
That's right there.
Unclear. I imagine he wouldn't. I imagine he will sing something else. Like, if they said, oh, he sings She Works Hard for the Money and tap dances with tap shoes on his feet, I would look at that.
Then you're on board.
Yeah, that makes sense. But there's just too many things. Bonita Flamingo is a bright orange plush flamingo dressed like Carmen Miranda.
That Carmen Miranda is one of those references that looks so dated because everyone knows Fruit on the Head, but nobody knows why.
That's it. That's it, exactly. There's just so many layers in that. It's on YouTube, so do people go and have a look if you're interested.
I wouldn't.
just to see, like, when you just put too much stuff in. Like, you take a show, like, because it has the feel of, like, that could have been a show in its own right. You don't need to put Noddy in there.
No, well, this is what I don't understand, Will, is why do they think that Noddy is such a hot property that they've got to use it, but yet they don't trust the source material, so they've got to invent this huge world around it. I don't understand where that comes from. If you want to make something new, make something new.
Yeah.
But if you want to use Noddy, then at least make a Noddy show. But what they've made there is a Frankenstein of a show.
Well, this is from like 1998, 1999. And I mean, I know now it's a big thing of, you know, and in recent years, export British drama to the States, show it there.
Noddy's not British drama.
No, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, I feel like that now it's a case of you can make something here, export it to America, and it'll be left untouched. And be like, isn't this nice,
well,
British?
Let's talk about Peppa Pig.
Yeah. They love Peppa Pig.
Apparently they love it so much that some of the kids develop British accents, English sounding accents.
Yeah.
And they're watching Peppa Pig.
But that's the thing, they don't feel the need to like put Peppa Pig into, you know, Peppa Pig's toy shop or Peppa Pig's farm where there's Peppa Pig and 1,800 other animals.
No.
You know, I think this is the thing. It's like, you know,
I think there are a lot of other animals in Peppa Pig, actually.
Well, I think there are already. But again, you don't need to add more. There's a lot of other toys in Noddy. You don't need to add more toys into that.
No.
Into that equation in a separate setting.
I agree.
It would be like taking Downton Abbey and saying, this is great. What we also need to see at the same time is 1920s Chicago.
Hmm.
So we'll have nice, sedate English country house. And every now and then, when someone does this sort of like thoughtful face, we'll fade out and show like prohibition agents running around Chicago. That's what we'll do.
I like the idea of recutting Downton Abbey, but Downton Abbey's like a sort of a model in the corner of a toy shop. So you have the Noddy shop, and there's a bloke just going about, and he's like, you know, when a kid comes in and goes, "Oh, what's that?" And he's like, "Oh, you mean the Downton Abbey? Let's have a look what they're doing." And you've got these like really crude little models all stood around, and then you zoom in, and there's just a very tense scene with Maggie Smith or whoever it is, you
Hugh Bonneville,
arguing about the china. I don't know. I've never seen it.
That is brilliant. That's how it should happen. Every show should have that.
Yes.
That there should be a stipulation.
If it's going over to America,
yes.
Every show is presented from a toy shop.
I think even better if there's the threat of that, but you're never sure it's going to be delivered or not. Like,
what?
So we'll start showing Sherlock over in the States. But you may or may not cut to a toy shop at some point and suggest it's actually part of a small universe. And so I love that idea.
Doctor Who could work.
Yeah.
Definitely work.
Doctor Who could.
Might improve it. If anything.
I'd love to do other things like take EastEnders over there and then just pan out and just, oh yeah, we've got a little East End London playset here and the... Toy shop today.
Do you think we should do the reverse though, when American stuff comes over? So like, you know, when you're watching your Game of Thrones, it's actually sort of like the guys from the IT crowd are sort of playing with a board game and it zooms in and then it's a scene from Game of Thrones.
I feel like it would be a very British thing to like have, you know, this battle scene and you zoom in on two blokes on the corner going, "You see what's going on over there? Ridiculous." Anyway, let's sit here for half an hour and have a chat.
Was that last bit you doing a bit then, or yep. Was that you saying we should carry on with the rest of the podcast?
No, that was a bit.
Oh, okay. That's good, because that's literally what we're doing. Yeah. We are those two blokes.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
But no, I love that idea. Anyway, we're here this week for pitching purposes.
Listen, I want to say something before we get onto that.
Okay.
I think it's our last pitch ever. This is breaking news.
This, yeah.
But I think it is, isn't it?
I think it is.
Because this is the last pitch before the 100th episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come to some, you know, we've made some decisions, you and me, haven't we?
We have.
And we don't want to keep doing pitch episodes, even though we like to sit here and talk shit. The problem with the pitch episode is we want to watch The Losers sometimes. And it's not because I've thrown a fit because I've pitched The Wild House twice and multiple times I've said to you, "Can I pitch The Wild House again?" And you've said no. It's not purely because of that. It's because we don't want to miss out on any great shows because we've done 100 episodes and we're running out.
No, absolutely.
So after the 100th episode, there won't be any more pitch battles.
No. We may throw things out to you, the listeners, again to help, but like for some suggestions of things
yes.
to watch, but it ain't going to be in this format. So this here and now is where the pitch battle ends. This is the final battle for ultimate supremacy.
You should have done the stats to see who's winning.
Oh, I should have done the stats. Ooh.
Because this might be a decider, or it might be that you've absolutely trounced me for weeks and weeks and weeks.
So, we've totted up the scores.
It's not in any way close.
It's
6 pitch battles I've won.
Mm-hmm.
11 you've
won. Yeah! Champion!
So this one is purely, if I win, I will have stopped you being double.
That's it.
The number of winners I've had.
This will be the difference between a whitewash for me,
yeah.
Effectively.
I'm playing for pride.
Saving grace, yes.
As we always were.
So, Yes.
So this is this is wrapping up the pitch battles. No more pitch battles.
Yeah.
However, I think people will be happy. They'll be fine with that because they want us to watch stuff. I think that's the idea. The downside is that means there will not be a How Do You Like Me Now every single week.
It's been a grand old journey, but it has taken its toll of us doing this every week. This is not us getting lazy.
No.
We're going to be focusing on some other projects, some other exciting stuff as well. But
so we'll still be doing every other week.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully we may have something else in the intervening weeks.
Fingers crossed. Keep
if tuned, we can be bothered.
Keep them dials tuned. But yeah, though. So you know, and the thing is, we've still got some big heavy hitters out there to cover. There's a lot of things we haven't even looked at.
There's loads of things to watch.
Oh, masses. So this week, however, so the final fight for pitch battle supremacy.
Yeah.
It's a bear fight. This is bare knuckle pitching.
You're trying to do something, but the truth is we just thought of two things with bears in, and we're like, oh,
claws out. Bear with me.
Oh dear.
Why the big paws? Sorry. So yeah, this week shows themed around bears.
Yes. And I've got you beat, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
All right. Hit me.
Because when I think of who is the supreme bear who can destroy any other bear.
Such a weird sentence.
I think Paddington Bear.
Ooh. Now, that is a bear with pedigree.
Don't you just love Paddington?
That is a bear that I feel if Paddington squares up to a fight, He's not shy and retiring. He's doing that whole, like, two-hand gesture, come at me. You know, he's...
Is that how you think of Paddington?
Well, I think in a fight scenario, yeah.
Have you seen the recent films? I didn't expect them to be like that. Like gritty reboots.
Paddington 2, knife fight. It's, yeah, it's very much directed by Guy Ritchie. People don't expect. Yeah,
no,
it's...
I would love to see that, actually.
Who wouldn't? Who would not want to see, like, Tarantino doing Paddington Bear?
Yeah, I would love to see Paddington in the wild, mm-hmm. and he's just snarling through bodies, just ripping them to shreds. And then someone comes along with a marmalade sandwich, and he's like, moo? And that's where everything changes. He's like, I've got to get me a duffel coat, because I want to join society.
Oh, so you think he willingly joins society? Like, I think it's better if, yeah, he's like a savage bear, like a King Kong sort of thing.
Right.
Where he's like savage and
that
then
was a monkey, but sure.
Well, yeah, but you know, but that kind of thing. They knock him out with like a chloroform laced marmalade sandwich.
Right.
He loves the taste, but it puts him to sleep. Next thing you know, he's in like good old London town wearing like a duffel coat and a red hat and not knowing what's going on.
But surely then he would just rip that stuff off. And go back to mauling people.
Well, no, suddenly he's in polite society. You know, he's at the station for one. He doesn't know where he is, and also he's not like King Kong sized. He's not going to be like climbing, you know, Big Ben, swatting planes.
No, but
he's a regular sized bear.
Deadly, he's not going to stick with the hat and coat.
Well, maybe he thinks actually, no, I've got to find out who put me in this weird place. No, the hat and coat is a disguise. He mauls the first person who comes to help him, gets chased by the authorities, thinks, oh no, that ain't going to fly here. I need to hide, I need to lay low. Duffel coat, hat.
Or, I believe he is also from the Peruvian rainforest. Maybe he's just a bit chilly. London, not that warm compared to Peru.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Paddington, gotta love it. We all know the origin story.
We do, yes.
It's a little like that, but slightly tamer. And then, you know, I remember the animation style from this original one. So that's the one we'd be going back to. The he's a little furry bear in a little paper world.
Yeah.
Do you remember? It's all sort of flat.
Yeah.
Paper, like it's just been cut out of the book, which it probably has.
Got a style to, like, Mr. Ben, I feel, is like a...
Yeah, I think it's really old. I think it was probably on before we were born, repeated in our lifetime. I haven't looked it up yet. But I just remember it being so quaint, so English, so placid and old school. And I love a bit of that. I love a bit of it. So Paddington, I just think, what a legend old Paddington is. And I don't want to do an update with this one. I don't want to watch the modern one. I've no interest.
No.
I want to watch old Paddington. I want to watch him snuffling around.
Eating a sandwich.
Eating a marmalade sandwich out of a tin lunchbox. Putting his hat on and off when he sees a lady.
Doffing the hat.
Doffing, yeah.
Got to doff that hat.
What sort of a hat do you think Paddington wears?
I thought he wore like a sou'wester.
Yes.
You know, like, but a red sou'wester.
It's not red.
No, it's yellow, isn't it? The boots are red.
No, he has a black hat in the show.
What?
I'm sure he has a black hat.
I'm sure he doesn't. This is one of those false remembrance things. I'm sure he doesn't have a black hat. I would swear blind he's got a red hat.
I believe he has a red hat in the modern iterations.
Oh, okay.
I think if we go back, we're going to discover a black hat.
Oh, okay. Is this going to be like...
This isn't code, by the way. This is not like a black hats are like a conspiracy theory thing. I'm not signalling to anyone.
See, now that... Because I want, but now you've got me down.
You don't believe the black hat.
I don't believe the black hat, but I believe it's entirely feasible. But I'm sure he's wearing a red hat or a yellow hat.
He's not wearing a yellow hat. He wears a red hat.
He definitely wears a blue duffel coat.
The duffel coat is blue.
We're agreed on that.
I think Jeremy Clarkson's mum might have made him.
You said that like it came to you in a vision.
I've just remembered that as a piece of trivia that I've heard.
Okay.
Anyway, in possibly the books or drawings or whatever.
Right.
And the modern versions, I think you're correct. I think the hat is red.
Okay.
But I am sure in the original series, he is, as a bear, he is mostly fluff.
Yes.
And a very stiff coat and a very large black hat.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I think
getting a visual?
I think I'm getting a bit of a visual. I think I can get on board with that.
You better just go with your bear.
All right, well, I'm going for something maybe a little less sedate. This bear had his own plane. He went on adventures. He lived in the woods.
Right.
Right? Snappy dresser also. Rupert.
Rupert?
Rupert.
You've got to be kidding me. Right? That is the most boring bear. You've picked the worst bear. If I don't win this one, I don't know what I'm going to do myself.
But Rupert, right?
Definitely the worst of the bears.
Well, he had a plane. How many bears out there have got their own transportation?
Well, I don't remember that. Well,
he flew through the credits, waving. He turned and waved in his biplane.
I'll be honest, I don't think I ever watched it. I think merely the mere sight of him and I'd have switched over immediately.
I will admit, his sense of dress is quite upper class. It is, you know, the red jumper, the yellow check trousers, the matching scarf.
Bit of a toff.
He's a little bit of a toff, I think, as a bear, but, you know, that maybe...
It's like if Billy Bunter was a bear.
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable assertion. Billy Bunter in bear form. I think that's probably fair. But...
I mean, his name's Rupert. Who's called Rupert? Do you know any Ruperts?
I don't know any Ruperts. No,
exactly.
I know Rupert Penry-Jones and...
Grint.
And Rupert Grint, yes. Two Ruperts. I don't actually know them. I know of them. I can point to two Ruperts and say, right, there are two Ruperts.
Murdoch?
Oh, yeah, okay. We're not representing Rupert's great. Okay, so four Rupert's.
Terrible.
Penry-Jones, Grint, Murdoch and Bear. Right, so there's four Rupert's in the world.
I don't know which is the worst.
Murdoch, obviously.
I think it's Bear.
You think Bear ranks lower than Murdoch?
No,
in the scale
I don't
awful
really.
Rupert's.
Yeah, he's probably done less damage to the world. Probably.
Probably. I'm undecided until I watch the show. So
well, exactly.
That's
what do you remember about this show? Anything
well,
apart from this plane?
He did have friends.
Who's his mates? I'm sure I remember the mates.
Well, I think he had a badger who was a friend of his.
He had a badger.
I think a badger was a friend of his. I think he had a friend who was a badger.
You're thinking of Wind in the Willows.
No, because Wind in the Willows, the badger's more of a... They're all acquaintances. They're not so much friends.
Yeah,
the Wind in the Willows is much more like, oh, well, because this is the first thing they say is like, I think it's like Ratty and Mole are like there. And it's like, oh, Ratty, I haven't seen you in years. That's the first thing they say. And literally, they live on a sodding riverbank. And it's like, oh, I haven't seen you in years and years and years.
Yeah, but just because you haven't seen people in years doesn't mean they're not your friends.
Not at all. But I think there's much more of an acquaintance kind of thing. It's like two old bankers meeting each other and going, ah, oh, yes, Jenkins, you're still with Hamilton and Schmidt. You know, that kind of thing. You know,
I thought you were making a joke about riverbanks. Anyway.
No.
They're like bankers. And I was like, okay, they're riverbankers. I don't know what you mean. I don't know what we're talking about.
I said Rupert, he had a friend who was a badger.
Okay. Yes.
I think he also...
He had a friend who was a badger.
I think he had a friend who was a panda as well. There was definitely a human in it.
Sorry. No, he can't have friends who are badger and panda.
Like I said, he went on like adventures around the world.
I don't think he did. I think it was just like on a cricket field or something. Can't be a panda and a badger. That's two black and white animals, two different scales, two different continents. You can't have that.
It's not realistic. You can't be talking about like scales and realism when you're pitching a bear that eats marmalade sandwiches and wears a duffel coat.
Well, it's all to scale.
It's to scale.
Yeah, he's a small bear.
What kind of bear is he then?
Oh, he's a black bear.
Black bears are enormous.
Okay, he's a lesser...
I'm just going to put this out there. All bears, enormous.
No, they're not. The Paddington type are small.
The Paddington...
He's a South American lesser spotted bear. Peruvian black bear. Sun bear. That's a small bear.
Still a pretty big bear.
Yeah, well, maybe had a growth defect.
That's why he had to leave the jungle.
Yes, exactly. Would never have survived in the wild.
Plus, too hot in that duffel coat.
And he needs a duffel coat to keep him warm.
Yes.
Doesn't have a friend who's, you know, a reindeer and an armadillo. Mismatched collection of...
Rupert, he went on adventures and he solved mysteries.
I believe the badger. I've got a picture of the badger now.
There
can't be a fucking panda.
But there was definitely a human girl who was like friends with them all as well.
Oh, yeah. Did she own them? Are they toys?
No. She lived like her family lived in the woods with them.
Lived in the woods with them,
like,
right.
Like they all went to school together.
We might have to watch this one just to sort it all out. Very confusing.
It is.
Is it a cartoon?
Yes, it's a cartoon. Yeah. No, it's not live action.
It's stop motion, I was going to say.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It was a cartoon. And yeah, he came flying in at the start on his plane, turning back and waving at the camera.
But was that just for the credits? You know, like when you watch like 80s action shows and in the credits there's like these huge explosions and dramatic events and then you never actually see those. I think that's what the plane was like.
Right. I know you've been watching a lot of Baywatch lately. I'm not saying you...
Two episodes, and in one of the lifeguards was in love with a ghost. You would have watched it too.
I'm not saying that they used the plane in every episode, but it was used a significant amount.
Okay.
It was like the Go-Go Gadget legs. Like, they're in the credits, doesn't use them every episode, but uses them enough that you go, oh yeah, I've seen them before.
I don't think I ever watched Inspector Gadget.
We watched it for this podcast.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have.
Oh, no.
We have watched it for this very show.
Have we?
Yes, we have. It was a pitch battle as well. It was one of the 11 that I won.
Did we really?
Yeah, we did.
I don't really remember.
You'd better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I do remember. Does he have a crow?
What?
Does he have a crow?
No, I don't think he has a crow.
He doesn't have a crow?
No.
Oh.
He's got a dog and his daughter.
A crow? It looks a bit like the one from the Umbongo adverts.
No.
No?
No, I'm sure he doesn't have a crow.
I definitely don't remember watching it then.
There is a crow was the villain in one of... In Danger Mouse, there's a crow.
Right.
Are you confusing Danger Mouse and Inspector Gadget?
No. Because I've got a picture of a human man.
Yes.
With a detective's hat.
Yes.
And a crow on it.
Okay. Maybe there was a crow in... See, now you're putting fear into me. I mean, at least I can remember the things that we've watched.
To be honest, when you just... You were counting up what we'd watched, I didn't remember half of them. You said visionaries again, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that's the lost episode, as in my mind, I have no memory of it happening. But now this Inspector Gadget has thrown me, because I know what he looks like, obviously, so I could already picture it. Visionaries I can't picture, ironically. but Inspector Gadget, obviously, I do know what he looks like. I don't have any memory of the plot apart from possibly a crow.
I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to do. I mean, we do make fairly comprehensive notes when we watch these things.
Yeah, yeah, but we have to record quite quickly afterwards.
We do, yeah.
Otherwise, there's no chance.
Oh, amazing. Well, there we are. Those are our pitch. Just to be clear, our pitches for this one, we've talked about a lot.
It has gone off.
Liz, your pitch is...
Paddington Bear.
And my pitch is Rupert Bear.
It's bear versus bear.
Bear versus bear. Bear combat.
Con bear. You know how you did all the bear puns earlier?
Yep.
I don't really get how to do puns.
Evidently. There we are. Those are your choices. Paddington Bear, Rupert Bear. Get in touch on social media. Let us know who your winner is. You can also vote on this episode on Spotify. There's a poll function. If you're listening on Spotify, you can vote on there. Tell us what you think.
Is that new?
It is new.
Are you going to add it on there then?
Yeah.
By the way, if you're on Spotify, just click 5 stars. Just click it. It costs you nothing.
Give us a rating.
Go on.
We'll be so happy. Please.
We'll be so happy.
Yes, if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy any of our episodes, please don't forget to rate, like, subscribe. Until next time, Liz, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Will.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back soon.